Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy Hold can just on. Bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, is going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
What? Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Always enjoy catching up with our guy Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
So you and Josh were just talking about some fantasy league that you guys are involved in. What's this fantasy league?
You weren't invited.
That's cool, what I'm guys gathering only. Here.
I don't know. So, wow. Pratik, who organized it, I said, how did you not invite Gabe? And he said, didn't crack my top eight degenerate game evaluators. Joshy, are you proud that you're in the top eight?
I am the few and the proud.
Do you think you would have cracked the top three?
Oh, Joshy was the
probably,
first invite.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
When it comes to degenerates?
Uh-huh. Well, in gaming, like how many best ball league teams did you draft, Josh?
We got up over 250 for the season.
What?
Yeah. He had best ball fantasy football. This is the Josh, mm-hmm. just like.
And what's the average cost to be in these?
Anywhere from literally $1 to $3 to $5. That's usually where I stay in, but they go up $25.
No, but for you, so then you maybe had $1,000 in?
Yes, correct.
And how much did you pay out?
I won $1,000 on it for the season. So it wasn't a great season, but.
But so I'm saying you got basically $1,000 back? Like you put in $1,000 and you got $1,000?
No, I got $1,700.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great season.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, in any gambling, I assume you're losing the money.
Yes.
That's how I think you should take it. Like, if you're betting, you're not betting to win. You're betting for the entertainment. And if you happen to win, then it's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's like the lottery, right? Like,
oh,
if you're 100%. Playing the lottery, the money's gone. And if you happen to win, it's a bonus.
Yes. Year by year, breaking even is, like, the goal.
No. Breaking even's not realistic.
No, I'm saying that's, like, a good year.
Yes, that could be a goal. Yes.
Yes.
I really look at it as, like, all right, I'm budgeted to lose this much money.
Correct.
Because, like, practically, I know what I win, I'm just going to bet back, and I'm going to end up losing it. So I hope it lasts longer so it provides more entertainment.
Yeah, if I come out even, that's a good year.
Josh's girlfriend, like, rolls her eyes at all these things that Josh does and was, like, telling me about, like, Josh sitting down at the gaming machines that they have and the different dive bars they go to.
Throw a couple bucks in there. Yeah. A little fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's just, this is who Josh is. When it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, oh, I didn't know that'd be a topic today.
Yeah, really? How would you fix this situation? Because it seems like it's getting to untenable range when you've got Giannis just, teammates aren't throwing me the ball. And it seems almost a weekly occurrence that he's calling out people for not playing hard. It's not a great situation.
Yeah, I've seen teams like this, and I've seen teams like this go to the NBA Finals. When LeBron was at peak LeBron, there were times where mid-season, the team, I don't know that they were 11th, right? But they were 7th or 8th, and they ended up finishing 5th or 6th, and they ended up beating the Raptors in the first round and ended up doing this. Like, adversity makes great teams, and adversity breaks bad teams. And that's what we're going to find out about this Milwaukee Bucks team. I mean, this is a ton of adversity. Giannis is obviously as fiercely competitive as anyone out there. If Giannis watched and participated in the game against the Timberwolves or the game against the Thunder, where Bucks just, I mean, down 20 after one and never were competitive and was just like okay with that, I don't know what I would be thinking. I mean, that's not who Giannis is. So the fact that Giannis is being transparent and voicing his frustrations to me, that's understandable.
Well, plus, I think there's an element of this. Yes, the Bucks were bad when he was younger. But in terms of him being the guy on this team, this is the first time he's had to go through this much adversity. Yeah, they had some losing streaks. They've had injuries. But they've never been in 11th this late in the season as long as he's been one of the top guys in the NBA.
Not even close, right? Like, adversity was like third and fourth in the conference. Yeah. Like, even the championship season, I remember your show talking about, let's just find anything good to say about this team right now.
So we could five in a row, I think.
Because we could try to stack something positive because their new offense with someone in the dunker position. I remember like that was the whole change that year, right? And so I think this is totally different. It generally, I think, probably means that we didn't appreciate every day the way we could have when the Bucks were 1, 2, 3, or 4. And
that's typically how it goes.
Personally, that I did a good job of that. But so now we're in a situation where this year is going to have a really great ending, regardless of what happens, right? So either this team proves it can get itself together, can actually make the playoffs, which would be amazing, right? Because when you're in 11th, you're not going to make the playoffs. Your goal is to make the play-in. But if the Bucks could actually make the playoffs, so many good things would have had to have happened and so much player development and so many things would have had to come together that the Bucks making the playoffs with this group is an amazing story. If the Bucks don't, the Bucks own their draft pick this year. And this is one of the strongest top-heavy drafts that maybe we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. And we're coming off a draft where we've seen five or six legitimate all-stars, you know, not this year, but that were likely drafted.
All-stars, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think if you said over time, is Cooper Flagg going to be an all-star? Could Dylan Harper be an all-star? Could B.J. Edgecombe be an all-star? Could Con Knipple be an all-star? You know, and you could rattle off a few other. I think Cedric Cowder could be an all-star. The idea of the Bucks not ending up in the playoffs is not where this team wants to be. It's not where Giannis wants to be. It's not where anyone wants to be. However, the flip of their draft pick that we have with the Pelicans, you know, the Pelicans are really bad. The Pelicans are tied for the worst record in the NBA. So if the Bucks have a lottery pick, and even if the Bucks win the lottery and got the first pick, so then the pick would flip over to the Pelicans, then the Bucks would still be guaranteed at least the fourth or fifth pick of the draft, assuming the Pelicans don't go on a unheard of run. So regardless of how things end up this year, it's not like, oh my God, this team's going to be in trouble forever. Like, we're going to have the opportunity to have a look at, you know, either a team that comes together and makes the playoffs, which will be really exciting, because to go from where you are in 11th to get into play-in position, to win on the road likely, and then have to win two games to go into the playoffs would show that this team and Giannis and everything really came together, or you're going to have a lottery pick. And that's a pretty exciting thing for a team that hasn't had one in a really long time.
So it seems like you are agreeing with me that Giannis is not going to go anywhere before the trade deadline.
I'm not commenting one way or the other on that because I have no idea. You know, all I could say is actions over words, right? Like, we've seen a lot of talk for the last 5 years around Giannis, and Giannis has been here playing hard every day, never asked for a trade. The team has never said they're looking to trade him. So I don't know why today would be any different than yesterday.
Yeah, because you've got Windy saying it's hour by hour, they're getting closer to the trade. Stephen A. yelling the Bucks need to wake the hell up and trade Giannis.
Right, but people yelling isn't how an organization makes decisions.
Correct.
If an organization or Giannis makes a decision, I don't think it's going to be because of the volume of Stephen A.'s voice.
And then quickly before we get you out of here, the Brewers made a big trade, sending Freddie out.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I was surprised initially when the rumor, but there were just too many rumors
swirling
early this week.
Totally.
By the time we got to Monday, it kind of felt like it was going to happen. Where it was going to happen with, I wasn't sure. And it seems like certainly Brandon Woodruff accepting his qualifying offer factors into this because they feel like they have enough pitching depth. I guess I was just disappointed because I was hoping Freddie would stick around and...
You were hoping it'd be Willy Adames.
Yeah, I was.
Right? Like, hey, it's a good price for this year. We know we're missing some of the upside and we'll just get a compensatory pick. We'll miss some of the upside, but he's a big enough difference maker that if we're trying to win a World Series and trying to get to a World Series, that he's enough of a difference maker that this is one of those guys that you miss out on some of the upside.
And if the farm system was in a worse spot than it is, because now I think it went from like sixth to first.
Yep.
But you've already got the fourth best prospect. Like, they've got a ton of prospects already. And like, I think it would have been worth it holding on to Freddie.
My counter to that is, because I was thinking the same thing, is that whenever I've thought that, Corbin Burns, hello Corbin Burns, right? Like, the deal has been a really smart deal. And I think all of us trust the Brewers process in these things. And if one of these players ends up being a star in their role and both of them end up being contributing players, then this will have been just another transformational deal that we just like take for granted. And so it was not what I was expecting. But once I sat down and looked at it, I was like, there's no way I could be mad at this. Like, as much as I love Freddie and what he brought to the team.
But that's the other thing. Like, to me, is part of the reason they kept Willie around is it was his clubhouse like presence. And Freddie was the successor to that. I don't know who that successor is. And the Brewers have miscalculated that before with the Josh Hader move. So that makes me a little bit concerned about who's that guy in the clubhouse that when you lose a few in a row, when you start the season the way they did last year.
Yeah, but a pitcher's a little different. I mean, and he was a stopper as a pitcher. Like, he was going to stop. Well, I guess he wasn't the... There was only one pitcher who you guaranteed would win, Quinn Priester. Which
generational run.
He was a generational stopper where literally you knew you would win every time he pitched. So I don't know that a pitcher, I know the Hader thing rocked the clubhouse, but I don't know that a pitcher could be what Willy Adames was in the clubhouse to that same degree. And this team had such a solid culture. I happen to be in L.A. For the last game of the season and happen to be staying, again, totally randomly at the same hotel as the team. And I was there at the bar as the team hung out after their season was over. And there was such a closeness of this team and a connectedness to this team. And I think an appreciation and acceptance of how the Brewers do things that I think it's the ultimate, like, I don't even want to say next man up because it's such a, you know, a cliche at this point. But I think this team, you know, we'll be ready to go. And, you know, we heard Caleb Durbin yesterday.
I certainly think the Brewers, I don't think that this means they're not going to be a competitive team. But again, after what they went through at the beginning of last year, where the pitching depth was really tested, having somebody who goes out there every fifth or sixth day, depending on where they are in the season.
But that's the point. Like, last year, I think there were 10 pitchers on the injured list between April and May, including...
But Freddie was one of them.
And the guy who, like, you know, who's starting, who they had traded Devin Williams for, I think gave up 8 home runs in his only game he started, right? Like, Nestor Cortez. Like, yeah. I mean, and this team still ended up, you know, first place, beating the Cubs in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. I think Joshy likes this trade. I think anything that adds a little more value to the Brewers, you know, if less people think they're going to win, he just wants more value on the Brewers going into the season.
Even though Chewy is pro the trade and basically pro any Brewers move because he trusts them so much, I do have to go channel him a little bit here and say, I do think this is probably the right move. Matt Arnold's a smart guy. I trust them wholeheartedly when it comes to the front office and the actions of that. The thing that's
frustrating... I know what you're going to say is, like, when you ran into the Dodgers and you're like, here's these four pitchers, who are we going to put up, right? No, is that where you're going?
I think this trade this year makes them less likely to win a World Series. And that, to me, is what is the main frustrating part. I do understand how this all figures in and you're building towards the future and the players are the assets and the money that you can use. But in 2026, they're less likely to win a World Series without Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, if you're saying this takes them from 5% to 3%, but it takes them from 1% next year to 3% next year, I kind of agree with you, right?
Yeah.
Like, if that's if that's ultimately the calculus,
right,
that it's like, hey, if we lost Freddie, we'd be down to less than 1% next year. This trade keeps us at 3% this year and then keeps us at 3% the next year. I think there's probably some truth to that.
Craig, always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, 2 big Bucks games this weekend, by the way. Denver tonight, 8:30, late start.
Late start, back-to-back, back-to-back games, 8:30 tips inside.
I know, and the crowd, you know, understandably, there was not much of a crowd in terms of energy level Wednesday. really, really hope we have a much better. It's a Friday night crowd tonight, and then Cooper Flagg coming in Sunday, 6 o'clock game. Two should be important games. The frisky Mavericks right now beat the Warriors last night, so it should be two really good games. Bucks trying to get revenge over the Nuggets, who beat them out there 2 weeks ago.
Craig joins us every Friday. You can also catch him Sunday Karma, Sunday morning starting at 10 a.m. here on ESPN Milwaukee. See you, Craig.
Thanks, guys.